Yes, it's time for My Feed, where we look back at the week that was and the most clickable, commentable, shareable, relatable and hateable topics from our social media feeds. Nina Ayama is a reporter from Tonightly on ABC Comedy. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks, Nina. Now, you crazy kids at Tonightly caused a bit of a ruckus at the ABC's massive Ultimo building in Sydney this week with something called the Great Blazer Race of 2018. Can you tell us about what happened?
Yeah, I feel like just there's a lot of weird internal things that happen at the ABC that people don't know about. But one of them is that people doing sports coverage were requesting sports blazers, and the costume department in ABC only had so many. And apparently a lot of them got taken, and so people doing sports coverage couldn't use them. And Tonightly took two of them and took photos of everybody in the team wearing the blazer to make it seem as if we'd all taken the blazers. And we got in a lot of trouble.
And what exactly did these blazers look like? Are we talking about a wild range of 70s colours, like maybe like Ron Burgundy from Anchorman, or something a bit more understated, a bit like, I don't know, Richie Beno from Channel 9?
Oh, my God. I wish they were super colourful. No, they were just very straightforward, bureaucratic ABC blazers. But I think that made it so much more funny that everyone was trying to fight over these very... They look like normal blazers. They just had a tiny logo that said ABC Sport. And so that was what was so funny about everyone fighting about this very unimpressive blazer.
So I guess what you're telling me is that the jackets had kind of gone all missing, and what, a few noses were out of joint from the ABC sports broadcasters about where they'd all gone.
Oh yeah, they were furious. And the other thing is, like, ABC people can press a button in their email and email anyone that has an ABC email address.
Yes,
so there was this huge, yeah, I bet you do. Oh man, but there was just like a huge email chain of all these people like furious about their blazers, just pressing reply all. And usually, like, I don't really care what happens within the ABC building if it doesn't, you know, regard me. But our EP Dan decided to troll everyone and just insinuate that we had all of them.
And so this avalanche of emails, it was getting out of control, and Wardrobe had to weigh in again, and eventually the IT department.
Yeah, it really took it to the next level, which is, you know, I think it's great. I think that they should be trolled if everyone's getting up in arms about this stuff. And it's, I don't know, I just think ABC emails broadly, they're always so dumb. Have you, like, there was one scandal where someone left mangoes in the elevator, and that started off like 20 emails about these mangoes that were left in the elevator. And I don't know. If only we.
I wonder if all officers are the same. But a big question for you, did these jackets turn up?
I'm not sure. I know that we had some of them, definitely, but on an existential level, does anyone really care about the jackets? I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think that's what was funny about it to me is that it was so inconsequential, but it like disrupted a lot of people's day. And that's what we're about here at Tonightly, is making noise and annoying people.
Now, we don't want to be accused of being too ABC navel-gazing here. How did Tonightly take this to social media and turn the Great Blazer Race of 2018 into something that ended up on the feeds of Australians outside of the ABC bubble?
Good question. I assume it was our executive producer, Dan Illick, who loves to, yeah,
stir the pot.
Who loves to stir the pot. And
that's what you paid for?
That's what our show is about. It's about stirring the pot inside the ABC and out. Please watch Tonightly.
Now, moving from life to death, the opening of the Black Sarcophagus in Alexandria, Egypt, has been dominating your social feed this week. Tell me about that.
Oh, my God. I was, like, obsessed with this. Basically, they found a big black marble sarcophagus that, like, weighed way more than normal and was buried really far underground in the city of Alexandria in Egypt. And it was like they've never found a marble sarcophagus like this before. And there was a lot of speculation about whether it would be like a cursed wizard who was living in the sarcophagus, or like whether it was the body of Alexander the Great. And then they opened it about 10 hours ago, and it was just like three skeletons and some sewer water.
So it wasn't Alexander the Great, it was Alexander the Average and his family or her family.
Yeah, it was Alexander the Smelly Sewer Water, I guess.
And what happened on social media? Were people disappointed? I mean, was there a big build-up and then a big letdown?
Yeah, definitely. Like, people were really embracing it. They were like, I welcome, like, our new mummy overlords, and, like, citing gifs of the film The Mummy and just, you know, citing a lot of weird supernatural stuff, like, along with screenshots of the initial article. And I think everyone was very collectively disappointed. But, like, look, if you want to look it up, it does look super spooky because the sewer water is, it's, like,
bright red.
It's freaky, right?
Yeah.
It is like,
That's what captured it for me. That's why I kind of went, what? It does look like blood when you first look at it.
Oh, my God. Like, completely. I honestly still think it's cursed. Like, having smelly water in a tomb is not a good sign. Like, and also the skeletons, they're all like melted and I don't know. I'm not convinced that something bad hasn't come out of that.
And an alabaster sculpture of a head was found along with the remains. So that was a little bit kind of mysterious and unexplained, I thought.
Yeah, it was weird. There was one head there, but there were three skeletons found. So what does it all mean? Maybe it was like a wizard that had three bodies.
Now, locked up for two millennia, I also shudder to think of the multitude of ways that people have been spelling sarcophagus on social media. What's your tip for remembering how to spell it?
Oh, my God. You are totally assuming I know how to spell sarcophagus.
I can't even pronounce it. I can't, let alone spell it.
I think it sounds really spooky. I love the word sarcophagus. I don't know. I think just remember it's got a PH in it and then you're good to go. I think it's pretty phonetic after you remember there's a PH. I think there's Scarlett Johansson was in the news recently and we did a story about her, and spelling her last name Johansson is a lot more
trickier. It is indeed.
Sarcophagus, yeah.
Now, finally, Nina, Instagram. Many people would agree that it's lost its way when it no longer was about posting photos seconds after they were taken. But, you know, when people started posting high-quality photos taken well after the fact and captured on digital SLRs and not your dodgy average smartphone camera. Now, it was in about 2015, though, that sponsored ads started to appear from big brands. And this week, it's sponsored posts again that are giving people the pip on social media. What's the story there?
Yeah, so I guess everybody's like quite aware that what's like sponsored ads are and how companies, I guess, infiltrate your social media and brainwash you by paying for ad space on a website. However, on Instagram, random people with no brand affiliation and not a lot of followers, so not a lot of fan bases or fans, I guess, have been popping up as if they are sponsored advertising. And it's been freaking a lot of people out, myself particularly, because I feel confused that these people who are like, you know, they're very, not like average people, but they're just like, so say you've got like an uncle that likes to take pictures of the sunset with his dog, but they're like not great. Like he just takes them on his iPhone and they're okay. And he's put a bunch on Instagram and then gone, I reckon these sunset pictures are pretty good. I reckon other people will want to see them. So he gives Instagram like $10 a week. Then they pop up on people's surrounding feeds. And so you
so end self-publishing up with this, and self-promoting.
Yeah, self-publishing.
And paying to do so.
Exactly. But content that is terrible, like, or content that is not particularly impressive. Although I guess maybe that's spoiled.
I don't mind that. I kind of like the idea of people wanting to put their stuff out there and you know, it's sort of that self-publishing thing. You got to have a lot of chutzpah and guts to do that. And in some ways, good on you.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you need to have money and delusions. I reckon you need to earn your ad space, man. I'm like, if you're a big company and you've done special like algorithmic stuff to find my Instagram and go like, I don't know, whatever, like I'm a girl, I might like clothes, and they do like a weird algorithm and then they're like sell me clothes websites or whatever. That implies effort, whereas I think like just, you know, being like, hey, my photos are, I guess they're okay. I'm going to make them appear in people's feeds that don't require it. I don't know. I think that's a bit, it's a bit narcissistic. Like, you got to earn your place, you know?
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I like the idea of the kind of the dag who wants to kind of share their passion with you. I don't know. I don't know. But tell me, what kind of trolling do these folks have to put up with when they start paying to appear in people's feeds?
Oh, well, heaps of trolling. And rightly so. Like, I think maybe this is a bad thing to say, but I think, like, if you are a person with a lot of Instagram followers that has organically reached those people, it implies that you're skilled or you've, you know, done something.
You've earned the popularity.
You've earned the popularity, or you're genetically blessed, I guess, enough to earn the popularity. Whereas, like, if you just think you deserve it without actually having to garner that natural audience, I think that's, like, taking a shortcut. You know, it's like people that drink skinny tea because they're like, I'm going to lose weight in a day, but it doesn't do anything. Like, yeah.
I don't know. In some ways, it throws into sharp relief all the social media tryhards who do fit the mold and are successful there. I don't know. In some ways, I find this funny. I find this funny, I must say.
I find it very funny, but at the same time, kind of sad.
And I believe the stats don't seem to add up for many of them who call themselves or might think of themselves as social influencers, right? Some have less than 1,000 followers, which for non-Instagram users ain't very impressive. And do you reckon we need to agree upon an organic follower threshold before these folks can go around calling themselves influencers?
Yeah, I reckon there needs to be a threshold, and I reckon that's upwards of 10,000 and organic reach, not paid followers.
Nina, before I let you go, what's happening on Tonightly tonight?
What is happening on Tonightly? Well, Tonightly, it's our best of week. I think we're playing a sketch about Elon Musk calling the diver a pedophile, and I'm pretty sure we're playing some of Christy Wiebeck's stand-up, and also a really great song that Bridie Connell and Wyatt Nixon Lloyd made about Australia and New Zealand being friends, but then also Australia deporting New Zealanders.
Frenemies across the Tasman. Nina Oyama, great talking to you this evening.
Thank you.
Nina Oyama is a reporter from Tonightly on ABC Comedy. I'm Damien Carrick. You're listening to RN Drive. Coming up next, The Drawing Room.